The first reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 7 to 9, and can be found on page 792 of the Church Bibles. This is what the Lord says: sing with joy for Jacob, shout for the foremost of the nations, make your praises heard, and say, Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I will bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble. Because I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my firstborn son. This is the word of the Lord.
He brings our gospel reading for us.
The gospel reading can be found on page 1015 in the Bible, and it's Mark chapter 10, verses 45 to 52. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, Call him. So they called to the blind man, Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, well, this is loud. Okay, so good morning, everyone. Please take a seat. I always forget to ask people to sit down, actually, at this point. So I want to begin this morning by sharing with you something that I feel very privileged to be involved with, and that is something called street pastors. Now, some of you may be aware that a small group of us from St. Michael's are involved with this ministry, street pastors. That's namely myself, Joan Pace, Quinton and Jody. We're all trained up street pastors, and Quinton actually is our Harrow coordinator, so he's responsible for, I think it's a few dozen of us now, a few dozen of us from different churches across Harrow, and also he has the unenviable task of keeping Joan Pace in line as well, keeping her out of mischief. Now, a quick bit of explanation. Street pastors, for those who haven't heard of it, is a Christian initiative, and it began in Brixton back in 2003. And over the past decade, street pastors has rolled out to just about every borough in London. I think actually it's actually in every borough in London at this point. And it's also now gone nationwide. So it's up and down the country in lots of cities and towns, and also abroad as well in some countries. And as street pastors, we have this, this simple mission statement, as it were, and it is this. It's to share the love of Jesus on the streets through three things, and that's caring, listening and helping all those who we meet. Caring, listening and helping, those three things. It's as simple as that. Now, in Harrow, we have a team of four street pastors who go out, well, we go out in groups of four, one a rota system, and we patrol the streets of Harrow and Wordstone every Friday night, and some Saturdays as well, when we get the chance. On Fridays, we patrol from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. in the mornings, which is a bit of a... 4 a.m. is quite grueling sometimes. And on Saturdays, between about 8:30 and 2. And when we're out on the streets, I have to tell you, we do meet some pretty interesting characters. You know, we've had people serenade us with guitars. You know, we've had all sorts of things happen to us out on the streets. And we've seen God, our amazing God, move in some wonderful ways on the streets. You know, he goes before us. You know, he gives us wisdom. You know, perhaps we may decide to turn a certain way and we come across an encounter that we need to have. He encourages us through prayer. And it's an absolute privilege to be a part of it. And of course, if anyone wants to do any more after the service, please do speak to myself or Joan or Quinston Jodie when they're back, because we'll be happy to share more with you. And we're always looking for volunteers, aren't we, Joan? You know, always looking for volunteers. Now, this is only half the story, because while we're out on the streets patrolling, we have another team back at base. So a base is a church that we sort of have for our base, as it were. On Friday nights, it's Harrow Baptist Church. On Saturday nights, it's Wordstone Baptist Church. And to have people back there who are in prayer, interceding for us and those on the streets while we're patrolling, it's a great encouragement. We have phones, so we can phone back to base for prayer if the need arises. We also have a walkie-talkie thing that frightens me, actually. It's a huge thing. And it allows us to keep in contact with the CCTV folks. We can hear what's going on. And occasionally, they may call on us and ask us to go along somewhere. Anyway, so when I think back to, you know, all the encounters that I have personally had with people on the streets, and it's probably about 30-odd patrols now, there's an observation that I can make. And it is this observation: that there's probably one question above all others that we ask those who we meet out on the streets. It's one question, and it's this one: what would you like us to do for you? Now, of course, we ask this question in many, many different ways, but it is the question that I've noticed we ask the most. And it's such a simple question, isn't it? What would you like us to do for you? And yet it's a question that has, that can get a powerful response and all sorts of reactions from those who are asked it. You know, the people that we encounter on the streets have a whole range of needs, you know, some small, some big. And a lot of people that we meet on the streets actually don't have any discernible needs. They just want to chat or encourage us or tell us they've had a good night, or ask us what we do. You know, what is a street pastor? I mean, one of the favourite gags of people is, what is a street pasty? You know, they say, street pasties. And you go, no, it's street pastors, you know. And quite a few people sometimes are worse for wear. You know, they've had a few drinks, they've been out and had a good night. You know, because we go to the bar, we go to Gates's, or it's now called the Harrow Bar. And we chat to people outside and we hand out lollipops. You know, lollipops go down really well. And sometimes people want directions or they want a taxi number. And of course, then there's others that have quite complex and obvious needs. And God has really led us, actually, to do lots of work with homeless people in the streets of Harrow. And homelessness is a growing issue and an area for prayer for Harrow, because there are more homeless people than you can imagine in Harrow, and it's a growing issue. And so we will ask the same question to those in such a situation: what would you like us to do for you? They may want just to talk. They may want food, water. We have blankets and gloves that have been donated to us that we can hand out. we can sometimes perhaps refer them to a homeless charity where someone can come out and assess them. And others on the streets that we meet are just not quite yet in that place. You know, they may have barriers that are built up for all sorts of reasons that we may or may not know about. And we have to be patient, but we ask the same question to those people too. What would you like us to do for you? And it's our hope and our prayer that that question will begin to break through those barriers and to move a relationship with these people forward week in, week out. We have reports that are circulated from the leaders of the groups that are patrolling. And so we can see what happened the previous week, and we can pray for those things. I know a lot of you, or some of you, received the prayer email, so thank you that you keep us in your prayers. It's vital. And of course, we don't work alone on the streets. We have the police on our side. Charities like Firm Foundation and London Street Rescue, that they work quite closely with Quinton, with these individuals on the streets. So getting back to that question that we ask, you know, sometimes we find ourselves asking that question to the same people over and over, across the weeks perhaps, across the months. And sometimes it takes that patience, that time, before, by God's grace, we manage to break through and see that person move forward. And I remember, I hold to my heart this homeless lady who wanted nothing from us, from street pastors, next to nothing, the odd chats, but nothing, for months and months, even through the nights when it was cold and it was winter, until one night we asked the same question: what would you like us to do for you? And she replied that she would like something to drink. And from that moment, the barriers really began to come down, and her trust in us grew. And by God's grace, she's now off the streets and she's in her own accommodation. She's been there for a while and she keeps in touch with some of the street pastors. And, you know, God is faithful and God is good. So what would you like us to do for you? Now, it's a powerful question, isn't it? And it's one that speaks, sits right at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it's a question that reveals love for the person that you're asking it to, you know. And in the context of street pastors, for example, we pray that it will be, they'll see the love of Jesus himself. Now, as street pastors, our approach is not to preach at people, but to show love by caring, listening, and helping. And, you know, so we preach through love. And, you know, Jesus was the ultimate street pastor, if you think about it. During his ministry on earth, you know, he was the ultimate street pastor. And if we look through the Gospels, there's something that we can notice, and that's that Jesus actually does very little preaching on a one-to-one basis with the people he meets. You know, he doesn't go up to someone out of the blue and tells them immediately that they need to be saved. That's not really his way. There are exceptions, but that's not really his way as we look through the Gospels. And perhaps if it's not Jesus' way, maybe it shouldn't be always our way as well. So instead, what did Jesus do? But actually, Jesus did a lot of waiting. You know, he waited for people to engage with him. He waited for people to come to them with their needs and their questions. You know, he waited for God to orchestrate those encounters with those in the towns and villages that he visited. And of course, he made himself available. You know, I heard somebody once, this guy called Robbie Dawkins, saying that God isn't looking for ability, he's looking for availability. You know, and just like Jesus, we should place ourselves in places where we are available for God to use us. And so Jesus did that. He placed himself in those places where there was great need, and he opened up the opportunity for God to work. And when those encounters happened, Jesus would minister to them. And in his own way, Jesus would ask the question, what would you like me to do for you? And it was through this servant heart of Jesus that he preached sometimes far more powerfully than words. So with all this in mind, I want us to think back to the reading that we heard this morning from Mark, specifically this morning. And we heard the story, of course, of Bartimaeus, a beggar, you know, who was born blind. And if you could sort of imagine the scene a little bit, you know, take yourself back 2,000 years. And Jesus is walking through the road, not walking through the road, walking down the road into Jericho. And he's followed by a crowd of people, you know, some who have needs, some who are curious. Up ahead there, he sees Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus is sitting at the side of the road. Now, here's a man who is surely used to being invisible to those who pass his way. And as Jesus gets closer to Bartimaeus, we might expect him to stop, you know, to maybe sort of head towards him. Because surely Jesus is aware of Bartimaeus' need. Jesus sees him. But as he approaches with his disciples and his followers, with this large crowd following him, now what does Jesus do? Well, he effectively waits. You know, he continues to pass by, but really, he's waiting. You know, Jesus knows the desire of Bartimaeus' heart, but he doesn't press himself on him. He doesn't head straight over and says something like, I see you're blind, you know, be healed. And he knows that he knows he's there. So he knows Bartimaeus knows Jesus is there. And Bartimaeus knows who Jesus is. I mean, later on, he's Christ, son of David. Really says that Bartimaeus understands who Jesus is. Now, sometimes on the streets when we're patrolling, we wait. You know, we see someone in need. And we just walk around sometimes, just waiting. We might think, we'll return to that place later and we'll just see if that person's still there. And if it is, we'll trust in God for there to be an encounter. And sometimes the waiting pays off. Sometimes it just pays off. And other times, you know, it's not that time to engage. But like Bartimaeus, the person in need knows we're there. I don't know if you've seen the uniforms we wear. We have these big jackets, street pastors on the back. We've got caps. It's the only time in my life I've ever worn a cap. And so it's quite obvious, you know, that we are of some people out there to do something. So Jesus waits. You know, he just waits. And when Bartimaeus finally calls out to him, son of David, have mercy on me. Now Jesus hears him. Now he stops and invites Bartimaeus to come to him. And Bartimaeus doesn't need asking twice. You know, he throws aside his cloak, which is probably one of his few possessions that keeps him warm during the cold nights and protects him from the sun during the day. And he rushes to Jesus. You know, he heads straight over. And it's now, after waiting, after hearing Bartimaeus call to him and responding, that Jesus asks him, what would you like me to do for you? Now, this is God asking, what would you like me to do for you? My rabbi, Bartimaeus replies, I want to see. Now, we could make an ironic observation at this point and say that Bartimaeus can see probably the most important thing of all, and perhaps a lot of those around him are the ones who are blind. But Jesus says, go, he says to him, for your faith has healed you. And then what does Bartimaeus do? Does he go? Does he just pack up his stuff and head off? Well, he's free to go and make another choice at this point. Jesus wouldn't take that gift of healing from him if he decided to. His healing was a gift. But we're told that Bartimaeus followed Jesus down the road because Bartimaeus experienced, you know, the love of Jesus Christ, you know, undeserved, unearned, unconditional love. And he chose to follow the Son of David, the King. What would you like me to do for you? And Jesus still asks that same question to all of us today. You know, to those, even to those who don't know him, Jesus is constantly knocking and asking that question. And like Bartimaeus, we all have a choice in how we're going to respond to that invitation. But I ask you, how many of us are truly like Bartimaeus, those who are always ready to admit our need for Jesus in some aspect of our lives? I know sometimes I hide away and I think, you know, that's off limits, Jesus, you know. And how many of us are perhaps hesitant to come to Jesus in our fullness for whatever reason? And if that's you, well, that's me, and that's okay. That's okay, because Jesus understands. You know, he is patient, and he loves us, and he never, ever forces himself on any aspect of our lives. And he is deeply committed to seeing us all flourish. So I'm coming to finish now, but I want now for us to take some time just to have some prayer and reflection, and just to give a bit of time over to God and just hear him ask that question of us, what would you like me to do for you? And then after this, there'll be some time to respond. We're going to play a DVD of a song, which is about 3 or 4 minutes long. And then it's time for you to just sort of sit and reflect however you want to. Okay. So before I go any further, I just want to share this morning. When we were praying this morning, I had a picture. And I wasn't quite sure what the picture was to begin with. It sort of started with a circle around the church. And then I sort of got the sense of it being thorns or brambles. And I kept it to myself because I wasn't sure if it was, you know, testing it. And a little later, it turned into a crown. And I realised that actually I was having a picture of a crown of thorns around the church. And then that crown of thorns turned into a crown of gold. And I shared this with Pam, and it's something that has come up before in the past. And I had the sense, and Pam did as well, that it's victory. That Jesus is saying to us today, you know, that he is victorious because of the cross. You know, so in any aspect of our lives where we think perhaps we're defeated, Jesus says that's rubbish. That's not true. You know, look to the cross. I am victorious. So if we could just hold that in our minds as we move forward in this time of prayer. So let's take a moment to just get comfortable, to settle our minds as well. And if you want to, you can close your eyes, you can keep them open. And let's just focus for a moment on God who loves us. So let's just take a moment. Now, our reading from Jeremiah, you know, talks of the promise of restoration, that God will lead us home, now, with great care. He'll lead us by quiet streams and smooth paths, and we will not stumble. So let's hear God ask that question. What would you like the living God to do for you? And as we remain in that place with God, let's remember that Jesus' question is one that we can pass on to others. You know, we're all street pastors. So let us now ask God, what would you like me to do for you? What would you like me to do for you, Lord? How can I bless others as you have blessed me? How can I touch people with your love? So Jesus, we just thank you for the fact that you love us unconditionally. Jesus, thank you that you constantly ask us the question, what can you do for us? And Lord, would you show us how we can serve you in gratitude and thanks? We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Darkness, you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no